Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to a Thursday all day long, getting you to Friday as quick as we possibly can. We got a guest in studio. Lee from Huntsville is sitting in studio with us. How are you doing?
I am so excited to be here.
Well, we are so excited you are here. So thank you very much for joining us for the fray.
Happy to be here.
We got a great show laid on for you. And as always, that is JP pushing buttons on the board. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not happy about this cold weather being back. But
it's winter.
I know. I wish it was a 70-degree winter every year, but...
Well, there's Florida, but then we'd lose you, so don't do that.
Maybe eventually Florida. Not anytime soon, though.
You're going to be down in the Keys one day just doing radio gigs
or
something.
That's me.
Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. I will tell you that I am blessed by the fact that I'm able to step out at one point. So Charlene and I have a Christmas gathering out of town that we're headed to. So my friend Lee from Huntsville is going to be sitting in for us. So the last 2 hours of the show, she's going to be in the driver's seat taking care of business. In the meantime, I will tell you that we're going to do Butters and Lee, though, before I go. So Butters and Lee comes up at 2:30. Got to do that. Can't let it go by. So I'll be here for Butters and Lee at 2:30, and then at 3 o'clock, actually 3:30, I'm sorry, Lee's going to have Emily Jones calling in. Emily Jones, the host of one of the newest podcasts we have on the Right Side lineup called The Controversial Mom, which is crazy because it's not controversial, but anyway, there it is. Anyway, that's a great lineup, and then we still got a triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. All right, so it's actually Lee's Dippers. So the first one is called More Than Money, because there's more than money in that bill, right? Just saying. So it's More Than Money, the continuing resolution that's before the body up in D.C. right now. It's got more than money in it. It's got some trash in it, to be honest. So we're gonna have a conversation on air. Lee's going to pilot that one. One of the topics she's got on the plate right now, I understand, we're just going to call it the best gift ever. I mean, let's get in the Christmas mood. What's the best gift you ever got or never got? So, best gift ever, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then there's room in there potentially, although I know how she can talk, so it might just stretch on through. I'm not sure. But there's room in there for some free time ramblings, so we'll see how this goes. Anyway, Lee's going to be in charge of all that, and I'm thankful and grateful. And I still got all kinds of stuff left to do in the show as it stands. All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys, by the way, that Stan McDonald, attorney in Huntsville, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. We are grateful for that. And I'll tell you more about him here in just a little bit. So let's talk about spending. Let's talk about spending in D.C. And let's talk about what it means the way they're going about the spending, all right? I mean, we've all had times, right? I'm sure we have. We've all had times when we had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And by that, I'm sure that most folks listening to this have had those days where paying one bill meant not paying another. Or for that matter, maybe you've had times when some very important bills got paid on a credit card, and it can be extremely frustrating, and if you're not careful, it can get away from you in a hurry. I mean, to this day, I'm not sure how our family made it through my late-in-life decision to go to law school. I mean, I was in my early 30s with a wife, two kids, a dog, and a mortgage, and now I go to law school? Well, I did. But with careful application of a second mortgage on the house, a little bit of GI Bill, two very modest day job paychecks, and a credit card, the shell game played out for 3 years. I mean, using the credit card to pay for daily trips to Birmingham for class, paying down the balance as best we could, drawing from the credit line to pay tuition when the GI Bill was short, and then paying it back down, and then drawing it up again when the regular paycheck got somewhat irregular at times. It was 3 years of financial tightrope walking, but God was faithful. I graduated. I'm a lawyer now for over 20 years. Somehow the light stayed on, the kids always had Christmas. And Charlene, man, I'll tell you right now, I've probably told this story before, but she was a miracle worker. Charlene used to sit down literally every month and plan out dinner for every night for the next month, every single night. And then she would take stock of what we had in the cupboard, and she'd make a shopping list for how to make each meal, and then she'd go to the store and buy it all. I remember once being in a group of friends, and somebody was complaining about the cost of groceries. And I told them how Charlene handled our groceries, and they were impressed. But their appreciation turned to shock when I told them that she fed a family of four and a dog for about $250 a month. And one lady said, "My word, I spend that every week." And I look back and think, okay, there weren't many vacations, but the kids always had new clothes for school. And truthfully, we didn't lack for anything. And in my recollection, there was still a lot of laughter in the house. And we have said many times, too, that we look back on the times and we do not take for granted where we are now, not by a stretch. But Charlene and I learned firsthand what it means to live within our means. Do we have some debt? Sure. We still have a mortgage on our beautiful house, but generally speaking, we're doing what many of you are doing. We're trying to be responsible as we try to live within our means. But then there's the federal government. Because apparently the federal government is allowed to operate in a spending deficit at every turn. Deficit spending is a term that every American should know firsthand. It is literally defined as, and here's an actual quote, quote, "government spending in excess of revenue of funds raised by borrowing rather than from taxation." You know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that where Charlene and I threaded the financial needle to get through law school with the understanding that every dime of debt we incurred would have to be repaid, Congress never feels that same pinch. You see, deficit spending is illusory. It presents to the world the false notion that you've got it when you really don't. It is spending more than you got, but somehow in the halls of Congress, that's allowed. Again, and again, and again. Every year, the United States government collects revenue from taxes and spends it on public programs and agencies. If any given year it spends more than it earns, its yearly budget then results in a deficit. And to cover the deficit, the U.S. Treasury has to borrow money by selling securities like treasury bills, notes and bonds, and savings bonds to the public. I mean, it's just like an individual who spends more than what he earns will have to borrow the missing amount from a credit card. But the accumulated deficits, year after year, from the outstanding U.S. national debt? Wow. I mean, hey, why not just spend it like you got it, right? This week, a Republican House put together a spending extravaganza that comes at a time when our national debt currently sits at just a little over $36 trillion. Let that sink in, $36 trillion. Conservatives were immediately angry, and this so-called budget process, I'll be honest with you, it's absolutely broken. In Alabama, at the state level, our state constitution requires that we form and pass a balanced budget. But in D.C., they have no such requirement. But what they do have is an open process that's supposed to be used. It's called the appropriations process. It's each department is supposed to send in their request. They get hammered out. They get debated. And the so-called regular order of business requires that each subcommittee to appropriations, like transportation, public health, and all the rest, they send in their budgets to all be compiled into one large budget, each portion having already been debated and passed out of committee. The last time that happened was in the final year of Trump's first term. Right now, instead, the politically savvy big spenders in charge have chosen instead to do two things. One is they keep raising the debt ceiling, which is like getting more credit on your credit card, and then pass a continuing resolution, which is like saying, yeah, we'll just keep doing what we did before. Except that they load the continuing resolution with new spending and regulations. So, I mean, is it really a continuance at that point? Not really. This week, the House almost went down that road again. And the Trump effect came careening in like a Mack truck blowing an air horn. Trump and Vance and Musk and Ramaswamy and a host of conservatives and the grassroots of America all called for it to stop. And it actually appears to have gotten their attention. The CR that they were floating is now currently off the table. And we may see a so-called clean CR with no pork actually get passed. I don't know yet. A slight raise in the debt ceiling may be necessary to give us room to breathe, and then we go on to real regular order of business budgeting as soon as the new GOP Senate is seated after the first of the year. But what a mess. I mean, you and I couldn't run our house like this. Because let's be clear, if you and I borrow money to do things, we know and assume the risk, right? What we're seeing in D.C., though, is more like what would happen if somebody took your credit card, went out and bought a bunch of stuff, ran up a bill you didn't know about, then walked away from it, leaving you with the debt. You didn't ask for it, but you got to pay for it. Well, it got me to thinking, has there ever been a government leader in modern U.S. history who actually worked to try and reduce our public debt in a meaningful way? And you may be interested to know there's one who was pretty epically good at it, President Calvin Coolidge. So I read a biography on Coolidge recently, and I came to an appreciation for the man. His bio from the Coolidge Foundation talks about him in detail. It says that Coolidge was elected Vice President of the United States in 1920, so we're right at 100 years plus later. Coolidge succeeded to the presidency when there was the sudden death of President Warren G. Harding in August of 1923. And Coolidge went about doing what he could to restore trust and credibility to the office of the presidency. In 1924, he was actually elected in his own right for a second term. And under Coolidge, the federal budget was balanced and the national debt was reduced. When Coolidge left office in 1929, the federal budget was actually lower than when he arrived at the White House 67 months before. He liked to say, "I'm for economy, and after that, I'm for more economy." The nation fared so well under Coolidge that people talked about what they termed Coolidge prosperity. The Coolidge decade saw great technological advances, including the transatlantic flight of Charles Lindbergh and things like that. This was the decade when so many American homes were first electrified and the decade when the automobile became widespread. President Coolidge actually left office wildly popular, and he could have run, because back then the law allowed it, he could have run for a third term. But he then also famously chose not to run for re-election in 1928 because he said he believed the chances of having wise and faithful public service were actually increased by having the change in the presidential office after a moderate amount of time. How about that? A president who cut spending, grew the measure of prosperity for the nation as a whole, and then left the office willingly, and the budget was better off than when he found it. Doesn't that sound refreshing? So it also shows that it's possible. It doesn't show that it's easy. But it's certainly possible for a visionary leader to address fiscal policy effectively. Yeah, so Coolidge may have lived in a different time and certainly didn't take office with the debt that we see now in modern America. But his principles and his adherence to those principles, they're timeless. And they are lacking right now as Congress just continues to spend it like they got it. It's time to get back to the regular order business. It's time to actually go through the appropriations process. It's time to actually stop pretending you've got a credit card and you realize you've got the people's money in your hands and all they want is for you to be responsible with it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. And I know we're going to talk about this, or Lee is, in more detail as the show goes on, but that bill really is a mess. And it's absolutely antithetical to common sense that they would put that thing out there, 1,500 pages, and expect everybody to read it in 2 days and then come in and vote on it. Like, that's meaningful? That's not. That's laughable. Let's get back to the regular order of business. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, hey, listen, I got to tell you. So the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue, I told you I'd tell you about him more later. Well, here's the later. So attorney Stan McDonald, I know him personally. I think the world of him. Stan McDonald is a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. And y'all, he's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. And not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, he's an absolute warrior on those kind of issues that right-side ruffians care about, and he has been for quite a while. So look, attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in multiple cases in federal, state, and local courts. He's done thousands of real estate transactions for people. And when Stan McDonald's on your side, you will have no greater friend, and likewise, your opposition will have no greater foe. So the bottom line is this. If you need an attorney in the Huntsville area, Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee is an America First family man. He's an attorney who's vigilant for those he represents. And here's how you get in touch with him. You ready? Stan McDonald. The number is 256-479-3020. You ready again? Stan McDonald, 256-479-3020. Tell him you heard about it on the Right Side, by the way. Okay, I got to do the thing. You ready? Okay. No representation made the quality of legal service important. Quality of legal service important by the lawyers. I think I said it right.
You almost lost it. You gained it back. You
I got slid it. Through a couple yeah, of those yeah. words. I totally Joe Biden'd a couple of those words, didn't I?
I still think it's amazing.
Hang on a second. We got to get your mic on. What?
I still think that's amazing. Yeah, that's a good job. It sounds like the pre-recorded ones. You do good.
Oh, my gosh. I lose all my oxygen when I do it, though. I'm trying to push the words out as fast as I possibly can. All right. We got a lot of show laid on, and Lee's right here with us. Well, thank you very much again, by the way, for being here.
I'm happy to do it. I enjoy it.
So are you going to rail against the machine today?
I don't always. That's just my shtick. I rail against the machine.
And Emily's going to come on, and y'all going to rail together against the machine?
Yes, we do that well. Yes.
Okay. I look forward to it.
By the way, I think y'all, all the attorneys, as you stand up in court, should have to say that line.
Your Honor, may it please the court. And by the way, no representation made the quality of the performance. But as for my client today, Your Honor.
Give him a lot of confidence.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, no representation made the quality of legal services provided. But just so you'll know.
I mean, just think it's silly.
It's absolutely nuts.
Well, I mean, you know a lawyer caused you to have to say
that. Some friggin' lawyer got involved. And don't you know, by the way, there ain't a single lawyer. There's nobody, me included, there's no lawyer out there who is going to walk around going, well, you know, I'm not the best lawyer.
I'm not any better than this guy over here.
I mean, I had somebody this morning, by the way, in one of my cases that was asking whether, because we won, but the other side's appealing. And so they're asking, well, do we need to get a lawyer for the appeal part? I handle appeals. Thank you very much. You know, I wanted to go, I'm the best lawyer in the room. But, you know, the idea that anybody's going to spend all that time getting a law degree, developing a practice, and then go, I'm just really not the best lawyer.
Well, you know, it was a bad lawyer that sued and caused that to happen because he's like, I'm tired of all these other good lawyers. I want him to stand up there and say, nobody's better.
Listen, there's a thing we have to do. Okay, now that we're running off on tangents here, there's a thing I do a lot of real estate work, right? Uh-huh. And there's a thing we have to do in the middle of that called a closing protection letter. It's a weird little thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not part of the closing cost. It's something you have to offer at the table and they have to accept or decline. Mm-hmm. And I've got, you know how you get used to doing things 1,000 times? You say the same things every time. I got to where I would say, okay, now we find out whether or not you trust me, because what's happening is somewhere some sorry lawyer ran off with somebody's money, and I'm now required to offer you the opportunity to purchase a little bit of insurance in case I was to go south to Mexico with your money. And you can just tell me whether you do or don't want to buy that. And they're always like, oh, no. Well, one time I said that, I was doing a closing down at Auburn, and the realtor goes, well, we know who that lawyer was. And I went, who was it? And they said they did have a lawyer in Lee County who had a gambling addiction that was trying to pay off his bookies with client funds, and it wasn't working out real well. And now I got to do this thing every time where I got to sell this little.
I'm not much better than that guy, you know, so be careful.
You just want to be like, the quality of legal services provided.
You're just like, thanks a lot, dude. Almighty. You changed the whole entire process.
I know. Thanks, dude. Hope his bookies came around and taught him a lesson, made him an offer he couldn't refuse. All right, we're going to come back, and we're not going to waste any time, y'all. We are jumping into some Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, real quick, before we jump into our next segment, I got to tell you, so the footprint is changing slightly. So coming up at the first of the year, the affiliate that we're on in Birmingham, we are rolling off of 101.1. So if you were listening to us on 101.1 FM out of Birmingham, WXJC, we went through contract renegotiations with them and decided the best solution was for us to go ahead and part ways. So that being said, if you're a 101.1 ruffian, just know that there's 1,000 ways to get us without missing a beat. I mean, you can just go straight to YouTube. And we're that close. We're like inches away from 1,000 subscribers on
976.
YouTube. Holy smokes. So 976 of y'all have subscribed on YouTube. Thank you very much. But you can find us on Twitter in two different places. You can find us on Rumble. You can find us on Twitch. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's enough of that. Just know this. 101.1, we're changing at the first of the year. Stay with us, ruffians. All right, there's a segment we do every week, and I love it. We do it every Thursday, and we usually do it at 3:30, but I'm leaving today early so that Lee can run the show for me, and so we're doing it at 2:30. So this is me calling the roll, and you're right here, so no problem. Hey, Lee.
Hey, right here, present.
Right here, staring me in the face. There we are. And then coming in via Clean Feed Connection, Butterman, are you there?
I am here.
You are indeed. You should have come to the studio today, dude. We could have just had the big party.
We could have all hung out.
Lee brought cookies.
I feel like I was just there.
Actually, you were. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Let's do a round of Butters and Lee. All right. First question, and it spins right off my monologue, a segue here. So Elon Musk sent out a tweet and just rocked the Republicans' world. I mean, like, just rocked their world on the spending bill. Like, just like all of a sudden, knees were shaking. And so they pulled back on that continuing resolution. They're rethinking things. And I mean, it was Trump and Ramaswamy. But when Musk sent out that tweet, and he also, by the way, threatened to start funding primaries. Well, there are some folks now that are saying that this represents some undue influence by a non-elected official. Your thoughts on that? Lee, you're right here. Go first.
Undue influence.
Undue influence.
Like we haven't had that forever. I didn't hear anybody crying about that before now, because most of the undue influence was on, you know, the Democrat side. So, you know, when you have Open Foundation funding all these different
George Soros.
Yeah, George or Open Society funding all these different, you know, DAs and things like that. If that doesn't go down to change on a city by city, state by state level, if that's not undue influence, what is?
So, I would agree. So you're not bothered by it. Elon Musk saying, what are you doing?
I love it in the sense of, because it's not just Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the figurehead, but what he has is by establishing X is making citizen journalists a thing.
Yeah.
And giving the people the power to say things. He does tons of polls. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? He's definitely a populist in that sense. So I think that Elon's going to look to the American people a lot for, where to put his money that, you know, but I do think that for so many years, senators and representatives, but especially senators being in for 6 years, feel as if there's no one's watching. And you know, and they can kind of exactly do right as they like, and they can do a lot of backroom deals, and no one's watching. Well, now someone's watching, and I don't think they like the accountability.
We put a camera up in the state Senate for the first time when my crew got elected in 2010. And there were times when I would sit in the back of the room and I'd look at a friend and go, he's forgotten there's a camera. All right, Butters, your thoughts. Elon Musk sent out a tweet and all of a sudden everything changed and some folks call it undue influence. What do you think?
I think it is hysterical. It is absolutely, I think it just continues to blow away the understanding of how out of touch all of these Nimrods are. You know, they're playing, I mean, you're seeing that we could do a whole show on every facet of what's going on with all of this.
Yeah.
That they're rolling out their playbook of, we're going to act like Elon Musk is in charge and and the American people are going to be mad because he's the one calling the shots. Like, but we elected Trump to create, with the understanding we were going to get Elon and Doge, and they were going to go in and do this exact same thing, and then you brought a 15, like, you guys are stupid and do not get it. I think it's brilliant.
I think you're both right. So the bottom line is, if Elon had tweeted that out and nobody had liked or retweeted it, it would have fallen flat. But the fact is, it wasn't Elon speaking by himself. It was Elon speaking and then rallying the grassroots.
Well, the grassroots were already saying it. Elon was echoing the grassroots with the type of power that he has behind his voice. He has money. He has big money.
I think the key thing that they don't understand, Elon doesn't have influence because he paid all of us or because he stuck a gun to our head.
Yeah.
He has influence because what he says, we agree with.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like, it's mind-boggling how out of touch with what the heck is going on. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think at this point, as long as you keep going down stuff like this, Elon's untouchable for at least a little while.
And yeah.
And they don't understand it. They don't know what to do with it.
They hate him, but they can't stop him. It's you know, I am Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? Tony Stark is here, and what do you do? But I mean, I'll tell you one more thing, too, before we finish this. One of the things that I think is different, this is George Soros always operates in secret and in the shadows. Mm-hmm. He'll fund things and pretend he's not really there when you know he is. He'll whisper things in someone's ear like worm tongue, you know, and just destroy things from the shadows. Whereas Elon's out front going, hey, what the heck are you guys doing? And everybody goes, oh.
And he's saying, I'm going to fund your someone to run openly. Against you, openly going to fund them to run against you and doing things I think that are, I think it's wonderful personally. I think, he has the ability to, because he has, I don't know how to say it, F you money, he it's not going to hurt him. Whereas someone like, if you look at someone like Alex Jones, where he's a big voice of the people.
Yeah.
Well, they just took him down financially.
Yeah.
That's the only way they could.
Because they could.
They couldn't stop his success or his following, but they could cut him down financially. Can't do that to Elon Musk. But he did say he thought he might get arrested if the Democrats won.
Yeah. And in fact, I think if they had also won on the lawfare with Trump, they would have turned on Elon next.
Oh, absolutely.
You had one more thing to say there, Butters?
I think it's just hysterical that we're going to get upset that a private citizen is
a rich private citizen
undue influence. Like, I mean, what?
Yeah.
What do you understand the garbage that's coming out of your tweets? And oh, by the way, they're all getting irate on his platform that he owns. It's just so awesome.
All right, next question before we run out of time, because we just about did a joint filibuster on that one. So here's question number two. So there's unconfirmed reports out there. I say unconfirmed because I have to, because I'm a responsible guy with a microphone. Anyway, unconfirmed reports right now indicate that President Biden is considering doing preemptive pardons for people who were allegedly on Trump's doo-doo list. All right. So you got Trump's doo-doo list, and it's real, but he's already said, I'm not going to be hunting people down, but they're so worried about whether he will that there's talk about whether Biden's going to start excusing people, pardoning people, and they haven't even been accused of a crime yet. What are your thoughts on this? This time is you first, Butters.
Well, so has anybody actually done, are we doing future crimes?
Yeah.
What kind of garbage is this?
Minority Report here.
We're in pre-crime. Yeah.
That's where we are.
It is, no one should have the power to do that. And, I don't know what, if he does, obviously it will be an unprecedented thing. I don't know how you get, do you get that in front of the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court goes, well, no, that doesn't count. Cause how do you know what he's going to, it's just so ridiculous. Not something that, no.
Well, he technically insane. Did it with Hunter, because part of his Hunter pardon was those crimes known or unknown for 10 years. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, did it make a noise? Well, if a crime was committed but no one's been indicted, can you pardon it? I just stole your thunder. Go ahead and take it, Lee. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, most pardons given are after the fact, right? At least after sentencing. Yeah. A lot of times after time is served. Like, they want to point out that Trump pardoned his son-in-law's father, but that was after he served after a two-year term.
Yes, and 10 years after he served.
Exactly, but he actually served his term. This wasn't getting him out of any kind of responsibility. I'm sure it's just wiping the record clean so he could be, what did this? He gave him some type of
he's ambassador. He's an ambassador now, but he pardoned him in the last term. That was five, six years ago.
Right. But I think he anticipated, something in the future. But I just think that will Biden do it? Yeah, I could see him doing a few people targeted. I don't know if he can just hit everyone, because then I don't want to hear a word from him when Trump walks in and blankets the J6 people with pardons. I don't want to hear a word or commutations or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear anything. But I could see him doing Fauci, because they're going to come after him. And a few other highly placed people. To maintain his legacy, Biden's legacy. Everything comes back to him. Him pardoning Hunter was him pardoning himself anyway, because he's the big guy with 10%. So if you can't get Hunter.
What you got, buddy?
I somewhat disagree.
Hey, wait on. We've been in kumbaya mode the entire time. Now what we got?
I somewhat disagree in that there's any worry about President Biden's legacy, because I think what's actually happening is, number one, I've said it a million times, President Biden isn't making any decisions. Like, he hadn't for a long time. So I think we're seeing a lot of people, or a small number of people, who will never know, but they don't really care about his legacy. They're just taking advantage of the situation to have the pardon power in his name, because he walks out of this. He does crazy stuff with these pardons, and he goes down as the lunatic. Well, he's already, he's not looking after his own legacy. So I think there's a lot of other factors at play. And a lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening if he was actually, you know, coherent and thinking about the way people think about him.
I can't disagree. So Obama's third term, which is what I call this presidency, and his left behind network.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying, but I still think
he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, at this point.
They have nothing to lose because no one knows who they are.
They've already lost everything.
Exactly.
All right, hey, that's it. We got to call it there. That's round one of Butters and Lee. We come back from this next break, and it's where we flip the script, and they ask me questions, and I don't even know what's coming yet. Maybe I can get Lee to tell me during the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're back for round number two of Butters and Lee. And by the way, just keep in mind, coming up top of the hour, we'll take the top of the hour break, and the lovely Charlene and I are headed out to a Christmas gathering, and Lee from Huntsville is going to sit in for me, and I am just stoked over it. So thank you very much again.
Happy to do it.
Happy to have you do it. All right, so this is the part of the whole thing with Butters and Lee where we flip the script, they ask me questions, and I just wait to see what's going to happen. So ladies first, here you are. What's your question for moi?
I was so elated and excited to see that the Georgia Court of Appeals ruled that good old Fanny Fani is off of, and her group are off of the Trump case. I know they didn't dismiss it outright, but who else would pick it up? So essentially, this is dead in the water. Am I right?
I would think so. You know, my granddad used to just to buy my grandmother a box of Fanny Farmer's nuts and chocolate, and I'm pretty sure they were named after this DA, man. Fanny Farmer's nuts and chocolate. But I can make jokes about that all day long. But so the appellate court did come out and say. They did not dismiss the case outright, but they, in fact, I pulled up a quote. I was looking at this earlier. Let me find that case again. The quote from the Supreme Court or the appellate court in Georgia actually said that an appearance of impropriety is generally not enough to support disqualification, but that this is the rare case in which disqualification is mandated and no other remedy will suffice to restore public confidence in the integrity of the proceedings. That's an absolute rebuke of her.
That's harsh rebuke,
That's a stain on her resume now. It's not just that she lost a case and it got appealed. It's not just that she wanted more out of a case that she didn't get, so she was fighting for something more. This is the appellate courts of her state saying what you did was absolutely improper. And we're forcibly taking you out. You're fired. That's what this is. And she gets to keep her job, but she can't keep the case. Now, here's the question. Is anybody else going to want to take this case? Mm-hmm. And you got to know the answer is no.
No.
Who's gonna triage their prosecuting department and go, I think we have time for this. No.
Nobody wants that kind of heat anyway. They've already seen what it brings. And was she not a Soros-funded DA?
I think she may have been.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of these were put in place beforehand specifically for this route. They wanted to get him.
Yeah.
And they did their very best. And they wanted to stop him from ever running again. They wanted to crush him. They wanted to make him unelectable. And they failed at every turn.
If Trump has a doo-doo list that he's going to take action on, I hope George Soros is on it. Maybe there's an opportunity there. Anyway, that's another story. all right. So, yeah, Fannie Willis is off. And apparently she disagrees with being called Fannie. But that's what her name is, right? Isn't it? Is it Fonny?
I guess it's Fonny. I don't care, honestly. She's more like a Fanny to me.
okay.
A donkey's Fanny. But she's come out with a speech basically saying,
whatever.
Know, yeah. How dare you insult me?
The level of impropriety here is just galling. And the fact that she was as smug and as condescending as she was the entire time and lied under oath about her relationship with a guy she never should have hired to work the case with her.
Yep.
I mean, the whole thing just reeks. And I'm glad. I'm glad that the appellate court saw fit to just slap her around a little bit.
100%.
All right, before I run out of time, Butterman, what is your question for moi?
All right, so I know we're not going to get a chance to do this again before the big day. So here's... Put your Santa security hat on, all right? So you're Santa's security advisor.
Okay.
What are the last minute geopolitical security issues that you're passing on to him as he's boarding that sleigh to make his trip around the world?
Make sure you file an FAA plan because drones are being shot down in South Alabama as we speak. Just know that if you at all look like a strange vehicle flying overhead in Ukraine, that they may sure enough go ahead and take you down with a Alabama-made Javelin missile. And then on top of that, I would say if you fly over any one of the Trump golf courses, you're fair game. So other than that,
or military
Santa Claus,
bases.
Go right ahead. Do what you got to do. How's that for an answer?
I think that's a good one. So it is he safe in Syria or not? I'm not really sure how that's going down.
We don't know yet. All we know is the Russians are no longer flying over in Syria, but the Turks apparently are. So I don't have an answer for you there. Proceed with caution, Santa. That's what I would say.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. That was pretty good. We need to maybe study that in more detail. All right. Listen, we got 30 seconds to the break. So, Butterman, thank you for your time, brother. We'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure. And Lee, thank you for being here. And to all of y'all out there, thank you for giving Charlene and I the opportunity to head out to a church gathering with members of our small group, and the fact that Lee is here. Y'all give her all the grace, all right? Give her all the grace you give me. So there's
and
that.
And a little more, maybe.
You're going to do good. All right, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. You guys stay tuned. Emily Jones calling in. We got a dipper that belongs to Lee, and Charlene and I are headed out. Talk to you soon.
Hey there, everybody. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams, where you're listening to Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, from the Right Side Studios, local, state, national, all the issues, solid conservative, and just plain right. And I'm excited to take over for Phil today. It's been a minute since I've been up here, or down here. So excited to do it, and looking forward to working with Nepo baby over here.
Nepo baby. That is the first thing Dale Jackson said to me when I first met him when I worked for him.
Really?
That this was nepotism because Phil got me the job, you know? So, yeah, I've been referred to as a Nepo baby quite
a
bit.
Hey, if you can do it, you can do
it. It's just knowing and working my resources. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I say everybody else works, you know,
exactly.
Works that angle. You do it too. I wanted to go over some of the texts that have come in for Phil because he wasn't able to get to them. Looks like we have got, is this Jeff from Indiana? Hey, Phil, continuing resolution should be just the continuance of the former budget, not with all these add-ons. I'm afraid that no one thinks that the United States can go bankrupt no matter how many dollars they print. But if the dollar is worthless, it doesn't matter. That's 100% true. And I read where if it was just going to be a clean CR, that it would be 8 pages, JP. 8. It's 1,500 plus.
8 pages sounds about right.
8 pages would be a continuing resolution. And to me, if you're going to vote on something that is only for 3 months and going to have to revisit in March, you should not be able to be, you shouldn't be able to pack all this. So it's not an omnibus bill. A continuing resolution is just that. It's continuing what you already have.
I still think they shouldn't pass any major legislation during this little gap between, November 5th and January 20th with the new president coming in. You know, it's because they can pack a lot of this crap in. And
some of the people who are leaving can pack crap in. You know, mm-hmm. some of the representatives and senators that were voted out can. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think during a lame duck session like this, you should have to just kind of lay low. Let's see. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, great monologue. Calvin Coolidge is my favorite president. Appropriately, he said, it is much more important to kill bad bills than to pass good ones. You know what there, Calvin? I'm right there with you. Love that. I did not know that much about Calvin Coolidge, so I have to say I was really interested in Phil's monologue today. And I'd have to say maybe the president who was most successful in the last, 30 years, 40 years, would be Clinton, maybe. And I'm not a Clinton fan. He's the reason I became a Republican. But he knew how to get along. And he knew how to adopt Republican messaging and Republican bills when it made sense.
I think Calvin Coolidge is probably the most underrated president out there.
You know what? I'm going to have to look into him and read more about him. How about that? Let's see. Scott from Athens. This is nothing like a fisticuff over the hog trough. Great day to be American. yes, for real. It definitely is. These people have sucked at the teat of the government for, some of them, decades and decades. To me, the most important thing we need to talk about is term limits. I think that if you only had two terms to get done what you needed to get done or to move it forward, maybe you would do things differently and you wouldn't be constantly trying to, you know, their push to make money comes over decades. And you look at Nancy Pelosi, and I've seen videos of showing when she first came into office and showing how much she was worth and over the years, like how it has just grown exponentially. If you only had a couple of terms, that's never going to happen. So I think that's the first thing we need to look at. So when we're talking about this continuing resolution, or really looked more like an omnibus bill where you're funding all kinds of federal entities in one bill where it should not be, I think you have to look at it. And the very first thing that jumped out at me was the pay raise. So they literally wrote themselves in a 40% pay raise, which is
substantial
and offensive to most people right now who look at grocery prices. I mean, I just looked at my own bill, and groceries compromise I'm just such a large part of my everyday living. And, you know, there's people, and like myself, we're making more trip to Aldi's and Walmart when maybe you weren't going there before because you're just trying to make things a bit more affordable. But there's also people on fixed incomes, elderly, you know, the people on the poor end of the spectrum. I don't know how they're making it because it's so expensive to live. And when you look at how tone deaf Congress must be to try to give themselves a 40% raise, and I saw a lot of interviews where they were stating, well, you know, it's very difficult to maintain two residences and try to do two things and have...
Woe is me.
Oh, yeah. Cry me a river. But my thinking is, how about we have, like, dorms for Congress? Bill, and they can be nice. You don't have to have, you know, like, old Tutwiler and Alabama dorms, which were like prisons.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, nice buildings. And it, you know, and if you needed it, they could allot so many for each state, and if the person needed it, you know, they move in. So, because they're saying now, well, some people sleep in their office. Well, it's probably not all that bad, to be honest with you, in their office. And they have a gym there where they can go down and shower and work out and do all that. That's what I would do if I was sent to Congress. No way I'm trying to rent something in D.C. at the price it is. I would be sleeping right there in the office. But to me, something. What do you think about the dorm solution? I kind of think, you know, it's where you have so many that could be, you know, for because there's a lot of people that are wealthy.
Yeah.
50% of Congress are millionaires. 50.
My question would be, would you put an RA on every floor of the dorms?
Oh.
Like, Senator Tuberville, it's past curfew. You got to go back.
Cameras.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. The pay raise, though, is a bit ridiculous. Like, that is... That right there alone, on top of all the other stuff they tried to sneak in there, proves it was not a clean bill at all. And I've already seen liberals say that Republicans are trying to shoot down this bill because it had hurricane relief funding. And I was like, are you that deaf and tone deaf to what's in this bill? Like,
well, they put a few good things in there.
Yeah, so then they could hold that against you. And
they
put
an entire barrel of pork.
Yeah.
And they top it off with a few ladles of something interesting and nice and good. But how about this? Funding FEMA when FEMA has literally been asleep at the wheel, missing. Where are they? Why are we funding FEMA again before we get an accounting of what the heck were you doing in North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee?
No, I mean, North Carolina's still a mess right now.
It's still a mess. And they're not... There's so many hoops to jump through. There's so many things preventing your average everyday folk from coming there and helping out their neighbors. So many of them were in the beginning, and so many people have donated things, and only to have them rejected because it doesn't meet some very weird and specific, you know, like they'll donate things of water and it wasn't the right size or it wasn't held at a certain temperature. I don't know about water, but you know what I'm saying? Like they're finding so many ways how to not let your everyday folk help. And that I find that offensive.
Elon sent Starlink and they got sent back for a lot. Like, it was hard to get Starlink in there to give him internet. That's ridiculous. Right.
And he's trying to help and offer it to him for free. And, you know, that might be people's only way to reach out to, you know, there's a lot of people who don't even still to this day don't know what happened to their relatives.
Yeah.
They're still digging bodies out, for God's sake. And we're talking about funding FEMA when FEMA failed miserably. I need an accounting of what happened. There I say, okay, let's do a continuing resolution from now until March. And FEMA needs to account for every single thing they did in North Carolina. And if it doesn't work, DOGE needs to step in and talk about, you know, what changes might need to be, you know, their recommendations on what changes might need to happen.
Yeah.
Because FEMA, it seemed to be wielded as a political weapon, and that can't happen. And that I've never seen that before. It wielded like that. This is relatively new.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. But if you say we're conspiracy theorists right now, just we're questioning it.
No, I think we have eyes and ears.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, don't what is this? Don't mind your lying eyes. Don't pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just see people go through there with filming. There's just the utter devastation. And they literally are still finding bodies. And there are people sleeping in tents when it's very, very cold. And I think it's unconscionable what they've done and how they have failed the people there. I mean, they failed people in Katrina, too. But I think this is just an unprecedented failure. And that's what I'm saying is, why would we keep funding unprecedented failures before we had an accounting and understand what's happening?
Yeah.
That's where I would need to go. And that's where I think a continuing resolution would work for them. But we need to get in and actually, Congress needs to do its job and do a bill. But here's the way I think they should do it. You can't plop down 1,500 pages 24 hours before a vote. That should not be legal.
They didn't think anybody was going to read it.
Just yeah,
the so status quo of pass it through.
It's the Nancy Pelosi quote of, you know, we need to pass it before, so we'll know what's in it. No, no, ma'am. That's no. It's just like going, well, I need to run my credit card to buy this. You know, let's see if there's enough money in the account. I think that they should have to post. I think things should be funded individually anyway, in the sense of each agency get funded individually. And I think the bills should be posted online, depending on how long they are, for a certain period of time. And let citizen journalists get in and tear these apart. They don't want sunlight like that. They're more afraid of sunlight than vampires and roaches. They don't want it. They don't want accountability, and they don't want people to understand how they're spending our money. They love the fact that for years and years, people just weren't paying attention. And I think I look at our state too. So I think that the more people you have, that's where X is so important. The more people you have breaking this stuff down and putting out the some of the things we're going to discuss in a little while for continuing resolution, that's where citizen journalism comes in and people can start to, you know, they're waking up. So, well, everybody, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk more about the continuing resolution craziness. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville sitting in for Phil while he goes and has some holiday fun. And just going to be right here in the Right Side Radio studios, solid conservative and just plain right. And I'm going to read a couple more texts and I'm going to go to a caller. I have a caller. That's exciting. Tom from Tanner says, time to primary some discs. I've never heard it referred to this. Democrats in sheep's clothing. We always just say rhino. And he says, go Elon. I agree. I think Elon's going to expose a lot of people to be the rhinos that they are. I'm going to get right down to that blue core. So I'm for it. Let's see. Bruce from Springville says Fannie Willis is off the case. And yes, she stinks. Well, she really does. She stinks of corruption is what she stinks of. Let's see. And I'll get Brad from Limestone County. He says the most underrated president is John Tyler. Well, thanks. Thanks, Brad. You'll have to tell us one day why you think he's the best. The only thing I remember about him is Tippecanoe and Tyler, too, was like because that's a family name for me. So, yeah, I agree. He was a good one. So let's see. I'm going to go to Wayman from Coleman. Say, hey, Wayman. You still there, Wayman?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
phone. I'm trying to hear you on the radio.
Oh, no. You want to turn off your radio because that'll mess you up.
Can you still hear me okay?
I can hear you, yes. So you have something to comment about FEMA?
Well, I was going to pass on the information on the FEMA. If you go to the Real World News, they work with our military to get the information, and they tell about several of the events where our military is actually at war with FEMA because it's just a lot of criminals and felons. So you can go to Real World News and get that information with Guantanamo, what's happening there with some elites. Anytime I share this information, I usually get deleted and banned on social accounts.
Interesting. So that you're saying basically that the Army doesn't agree with what FEMA's doing?
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm sure that there are things the Army are sent to do and they don't like it, which does concern me in the long run, because what are they willing to do for, you know, any person in our government tells them, you know? And I don't agree with anyone using our military improperly, but all right, you can go check it out at Raw News, guys. Thank you, Waylon. Appreciate the call. Let's see. From Lisa in Huntsville, says, regarding the length of previous continuing resolutions bills being 1,500 pages, even the Supreme Court limits the amount of pages they will read when a case is brought before the court. Absolutely. I think having 1,500 pages is just a way to hide the giant amount of pork. And that's it. There is no other reason. And it's to confuse people and to just be able to put a few good things in there so they whine and cry when it doesn't get passed. But they don't want to mention just all the wasteful spending at a time where we really need to be tightening our belt. I mean, I think it's obvious that the DOGE department is needed more than ever. Red from Tony says, Congress's income should be tied to the salary of the people of the state district they represent. Example, the median income plus a certain percentage. That's interesting. But everybody has to pay the same in D.C. So I don't know necessarily if it should be tied to that because they all have the extra expenses. I agree that there would be difficulty if someone was not wealthy to be able to afford to live in D.C. and be a senator or a representative. I do agree, which is why most of the people there are wealthy. I don't know if you heard what I said earlier, but 50% of Congress are millionaires. 1% or 2%, you know, or 3%, whatever, of American are millionaires. But 50%, that's because they can afford to campaign. They can afford to fund part of their own campaigns. They can afford to hire the best people. They can afford airtime. They can afford a lot of things. So to have people in that aren't wealthy, you would have to think about, you know, how to help them live there and be there. But I still believe that term limits is the answer, personally. I don't know. JP, do you agree with me on term limits?
I think it's weird that presidents have term limits, but Congress people don't. It's kind of weird how that works. But
and governors and whatnot.
If not term limits, then age limits for sure for Congress people.
See, it's hard though, because there are people who are 80 years old that are absolutely on it.
That's
so
true.
I don't know. I'm look at Trump versus Biden.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's true.
All right, guys, we'll be back after this break and we'll have Emily on from Moms for Liberty. Welcome back. This is Lee from Huntsville. Sitting in for Phil while he goes and has some holiday fun here in the Right Side Studios, where we're solid conservative and just plain right. Excited to be here. And I actually have a guest caller right now. So bringing on Emily with Moms for Liberty to talk about the continuing resolution and what they had included that would affect parents. So welcome, Emily. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So talk to me about some of the parts of this CR that you have discovered and how it would affect, you know, just parents nationwide.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the first few things that jumped out were the CR that was just extremely alarming from the parental rights aspect is that the bill allows for vaccine and mask mandates and I mean, for anyone that follows Moms for Liberty even remotely closely, you'll remember that's really and truly how Moms for Liberty got our start, was mask mandates in the schools when parents were not even asked to opt in or out. They were just forced to mask their kids 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, we felt like we were getting past all of that and making progress in reclaiming rights. Mm-hmm. But now this CR throws the ability back in there for vaccine mandates and mask mandates. And it also requires, or I guess it allows for vaccine passports, which is extremely alarming, you know, just not just from parental rights standpoint, but just liberty and freedom in general. Like, if I want to take my son on a trip somewhere, I want to be able to do that by crossing state lines without having this vaccine passport. You know, with the CR, that's difficult. When we go to the Moms for Liberty Summit in another state, I mean, will we even be allowed to do that anymore? For the CR, potentially not. So it's very alarming, some of the things that are in there.
I thought that the vaccine mandate was defeated as far as legality-wise. How are they trying to slip this back in?
Well, I mean, I think it's like with so much of it, they think that people aren't paying attention, or, you know, the Democrats are just trying to get the last few things they can across the goal line before the Republican Party takes over. God willing, the Republican Party stands up and fights back going forward. But, I mean, I think they just, they have control, they have power, and who are we to stop them is kind of the mentality. So I think they're just seeing how far they can get with it.
Well, I just say thank God for people like Elon Musk with X, where you can, you know, things can be exposed and the everyday person can have a voice. I was saying earlier that I feel as if citizen journalism, you know, that Elon helps provide by, you know, owning X and having it be the free speech capital of the world that it is. But do you think that's going to help by exposing all this? Do you think it will be enough to... because I think threatening some of these Republicans into, you know, acting right is kind of the way to go, because he's basically saying, hey, if you go down this road, I'm going to fund your primary opponents.
Yeah, I mean, I wholly believe that the reason we won the election and the way that we did is mainly due to the Freedom of X and Elon Musk's purchase of that. I mean, without that, I think there's so many people that still would just have no clue what's going on. So, man, I think we've seen a huge win mm-hmm. with X just through that. And I think, hope, pray that it continues. And I think the CR is another example of that, right? I don't know how much of this information would be getting out so freely and openly if it weren't for that. When, you know, Jack Dorsey had what was in Twitter, mm-hmm. a lot of it was shut down. So if stuff like this was posted around the vax mandates and all of that, I think that would have been shut down and parents would be caught off guard again. Part of the huge thing with X is we're able to just better connect grassroots-wise across the country, really, and share more information and help other states get aware so then they can go back to their local communities. And I definitely think X has been a huge part of that and will continue to be a part of that. And especially with him doing the Doge, I hope and pray that has a huge impact on a lot of this CR madness that we keep seeing.
Absolutely. There's some really crazy things in there. What are your thoughts on them actually saying, well, we deserve more money, 40% raise at a time where people are struggling?
Yeah, that's just asinine that anyone would even vote to give themselves that kind of a pay raise. I put on Twitter or X earlier today that I think Congress's raise should be tied to an anti-commission mindset. If you save money, if you cut budgets, then at that point you can get a pay raise. But just giving yourself a pay raise and putting more and more and more fat into these bills is ridiculous. So I think, again, hope that with the Doge that Vivek and Elon can cut back on some of that stuff. But, yeah, voting for yourself to get a 40% raise when for the past 2 years I barely got a cost of living increase and I work well beyond what congressional people work. It's pretty selfish. And, again, I kind of with you, I hope that a lot of people are waking up and they are willing to primary some of these people.
Well, now that they have the backing of Musk, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Soros backing all these DAs and getting minions in place. I look at this and say, well, he's got the money to back it up. So, yeah, he can because money is how you win races, period. And
I think that's a big part.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I think that's a big part of, and we've had these conversations, people not being willing to run. And a huge part of that is the financial aspect to it. It costs a lot of money to run these races. And if you have to go out and raise every single penny on your own, mm-hmm. that's pretty intimidating when you're going up against not only an incumbent, but in some of these cases, deeply entrenched incumbents that have been there for 10 plus years. That's a really hard thing to overcome right off the bat. But if you've got somebody like Musk backing you with some deep pockets,
right.
I think that starts making people think differently about running for office. At least I hope it makes them think differently.
Absolutely. I think so. And I think that just the ability to get the word out to both, to me, that's the most important thing, is just to be able to have the free speech and be able to counter what others are saying. But if you can't get the word out via, you know, all these different social media channels, all this different advertising, I mean, it's just shown that's what works and that's what get people elected. So I do like, I love it. And I think he has enough money that it doesn't matter. He can fund yeah. every single one in the United States, and it's like tip money, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. I can't remember how much. He's like 500 million, a billion or something. Like, that's a crazy number. And I assume eventually.
It's a number my mind can't fathom.
No, because people got to remember, a billion is 1,000 million. So he has 500,000 million. Holy cow.
Yeah.
He'll probably be the first, trillionaire. But I think that as long as he's using it for good, and instead of, I loved Phil's analogy of someone like George Soros using his different groups that he uses, he can do things in the shadows, and he can support tons and tons of different DAs across the U.S., which really make a big difference locally and statewide to the people. You're much more of a difference than, say, the Supreme Court. He's doing all this stuff in the shadows, and his son will be taking over when he inevitably croaks. So, I think having someone like Elon to counter that is vital to keeping a society that's free.
Yeah.
That's my personal
opinion. Yeah. And I hope, I mean, aside from the money, I think people would be willing to run just because they get to be endorsed by Elon and potentially meet him. I think that's probably a fun motivator for a lot of people to throw their name in the hat. So I do think his entry into the Republican platform is really going to shake things up in a different way than what Trump did. I mean, we obviously have seen how Trump's turned the Republican Party on its head, but I think Elon's going to throw a curveball in there with a lot of it, because it's just so different. And a lot of things about Elon I don't like when it comes to, like, AI and all right. that craziness.
Right.
But he's still got some true conservative values in there, and wanting to get rid of government waste is something that's long overdue, but we've never had anybody with the strength and the backing to really push it. So I think he's going to have a really massive impact in a very interesting way. So I can't wait to watch that unfold.
Me either. I think it'll be interesting to see. And I think that I want to know from you, what should parents do to make sure they're to keep their rights to make decisions for their family and their children? How do they need to make sure that these aren't just slowly siphoned away by politicians?
Well, I mean, I think the big thing is they've got to educate themselves, and we do this a lot in our organization, is just educating parents on crazy things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the CR and impacts of that, but on a local level, age of medical consent is 14 years old. And oh, by the way, our state is taking massive amounts of federal funding for mental health clinics in schools. So I won't get into all the details of it at this point, but I mean, you can see where that's going with parental rights being more and more and more erased.
Right.
When you've got more and more and more federal dollars going into your local school system. And that all goes back to, parents need to be educated. You need to know that at 14, your parents or your kids can make medical decisions for themselves. You need to know what's going on in your schools. You need to know what's going on in these CRs. I mean, it's boring stuff, and I get it. But when you start talking about the things that we've talked about, where this federal budget puts authority back into these agencies' hands to be able to do forced masking, forced vaccines, forced vaccine passports, that matters. And then you know to call your legislators, call your representatives, and tell them, over my dead body, are we doing this? And make sure they hear your voice. Make sure that they know that if they vote for this, you will be voting against them in the next primary and helping them out of office, because parental rights come far above any of these elected positions. So the big thing is be educated and then be vocal. Call your people, and you don't have to be hateful if that's not your personality. But just call and say, no, don't vote for this. I'm watching. I'm going to know what you're doing. And if you vote for it, I will not vote for you.
And know who your representatives are, and your, you know who your state representative is, know who your state senator is. I bet you 1 out of 10 people on the street, may, if that, may know it, if you just walk up and ask them here in North Alabama. Know who they are. They don't need to be operating with this feeling, just like our national representatives and senators, that they can do whatever they like and no one's paying attention. That's the whole thing, is I want everybody to wake up, pay attention, and start understanding what our government, don't let allow government to run your life while you're looking the other way. Yeah, to me, that's the biggest thing. And as parents, that 14-year-old age of, I guess, medical consent is very important. Back during the height of COVID, there were schools in Birmingham that had vaccine clinics in there injecting kids, telling them, you don't need your parents' permission. You're 14. They're high schoolers making decisions that could affect their health and lifelong problems because they're 14. So I definitely think that's a big one for our next legislative session. That's got to go up.
And it's I've been doing research and different things, and one of the things that I'm going to be sharing more information on is what's called the whole child, and it's basically federal funding, which is coming through these CRs, and it's putting clinics in schools, so either, you know, a physical building on campus, or it's just embedded within the school. So you take your child to school thinking that they're getting educated, but while they're on campus, at the school that you take them to, they can then go to these health clinics. They can get birth control. They can get diagnosed for any type of mental health disorder. They could get on SSRIs. They could do all sorts of things while at school at 14 when there's no parental consent required. And because it's happening while they're at school, parents will have no idea they've even gone to see a doctor. So this is extremely important, like you said, to raise that age in the state of Alabama, but also to make sure we're clamping down on these federal budgets to stop funding this nonsense. Like, if the federal budget or the federal government wants to do that, they can do it. We're not taking that money in Alabama because we're not giving our kids up like that.
Amen. No, I totally agree 100%. We and people just need to understand this is happening. So I'm with you. And they can go check Moms for Liberty. They can look what on Facebook, website, kind of give the details.
Yeah, easiest one is if you're on Facebook, that's where we're most active. You can also follow us on X, and then the website's momsforliberty.org. At the top, just click on chapters and drill down to find the one in Madison. And that's where we've got a whole lot of content for all the non-social media people out there.
Which includes a lot of the surrounding counties as well, right? Not just Madison.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank
you. Yeah, we kind of cover all of North Alabama.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate all the commentary. And we'll be right back, guys, with more discussion on the continuing resolution. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil, sitting here at the Right Side Studios, where we're solid conservative and just plain right. JP, do you want to talk about YouTube?
Yeah, so we're actually only 20 subscribers away from our goal of 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. You know, I was shooting to get it done before the end of the year, but shoot, we may get it done before the end of the week. We're at 980 right now. So if any of you guys are listening and aren't subscribed to our YouTube already, please go do so. It's just Right Side Media on YouTube, especially for our 101 FM listeners, because unfortunately we will be coming off of that station come January 1st. Contract negotiations just brought us to a point we thought it was best to end our negotiations there. So we'll be leaving 101 FM come January 1st, but that doesn't mean you can lose Right Side Radio at all. You can just go to YouTube or on Twitter. We're on @Right Side_Media and @SendPhilWilliams, S-E-N Phil Williams. We're streaming on both of those accounts as well, also on Rumble. But YouTube, we're, like I said, we're only 20 away from 1,000. So if you have not subscribed already, please do. We would greatly appreciate it. And while you're there, you can tune into the live stream of the show and do that every day, especially if you're in that area of 101 FM. We don't want to lose any of our ruffians out there. There's no reason to. So yeah, please subscribe. We greatly appreciate it.
I always listen on YouTube and watch because I just like seeing Phil because he'll laugh at stuff and, you know, it just cracks me up. I like seeing him interact. So, I like watching on YouTube.
And if you want to see the great, beautiful Christmas tree that Miss Charlene put up in the studio, that's on the stream as well. So come check it out. Yeah.
It looks smaller in person.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can really see it on the YouTube, but it's funny. All right. Well. Hey, everybody, I'd love to get to 1,000 while I'm on the air.
That'd be
come
funny.
Come on now.
We get to 1,000, Phil's not even here to see it. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
We can do this. We can do this. And when you hit 1,000, there's more you can do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's a lot more you can do. That 1,000's like the one of the first thresholds you got to get through before you can do more stuff. So that's what we've been pushing for. And the ruffians have come through this week big time. I think we started this week, we were at, what, 957? Mm-hmm. And we're at 980 right now, and it's only Thursday, so...
Way to go, guys. By the way, David from Athens texted in, last time Congress passed a full budget, he said from Google it was in 96, which, like I said, that was Clinton. And Clinton is politically savvy in the sense that he can really kind of put his finger in the wind, the political wind, and understand the way it's going and push for more, you know, Democrat ideas when he thought it was palatable, and then move and shift to Republican ideas when he sees, you know, when he sees how he can work with the Republicans. He was good at that. But essentially, in his core, he was wishy-washy. So he'd go with whatever direction would get it done. But, you know, if you're a Republican with a Democrat president, you at least appreciate that. Jim from Oak, Grove Oak? I'm not sure where that
Jim
is.
Jim from Grove Oak.
Don't know where Grove Oak is. That sounds like a little place. Probably pretty. It says Congress people have immunity from insider trading laws. You're very right. They do. Well, technically they don't, but the fee is so small that they're hit with. I want to say it's like $2,000, $3,000. That if you're making $100,000, you know, what's $2,000 or $3,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. True. How do you think they've all gotten so rich? So, you know, I think that the founding fathers are rolling in their graves thinking that people want to get rich coming to the government, because that was, they wanted citizen people coming here and making a difference for this country, not getting rich. All right. We will be back after these messages. And we're back. Lee from Huntsville sitting in for Phil Williams here at the Right Side Studios. We're Alabama syndicated news talk leader, and we do local, state, national, all the issues, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm going to get here and read some of the text. Chris from Gadsden says, John Tyler is now known for having living grandchildren. Wow, how old was he having kids?
Yeah, he so his John, just for reference, John Tyler died in 1862, and he still has a grandson walking around. That's pretty crazy.
My grandfather was born in 1891.
Yeah, so I'm just going to look at the age of so his grandson is right now 95.
Oh, wow.
And his grandfather was John Tyler.
Oh, wow. So he's got some longevity there in those genes, too. I mean, you know, there's some stars that can't seem to stop having babies when they're 70 or 80 or whatever.
That's true.
Good Lord, stop. You know, enjoy your grandkids, kids. Stop having babies. Let's see. Russell, this is Rural Route 1. It's hard to say. Russell from Rural Route 1.
Got a lot of truck drivers that text in.
Term limits would give even more influence to the permanent state in D.C. When we return D.C. to the true constitutional status, then we won't need term limits. But I'd be in favor of 2 terms in the Senate and 6 in the House. I agree. I think 12 years is what we're looking at. So that would be 6 in the House and 2 in the Senate. And I agree. I think that would be workable, because I don't know how we return it to the true constitutional status right now. But I think term limits would be the best first step. Let's see. Ruffly Ann sent a funny picture of Right Side. I think she was pointing out the people we are gaining. Thank you, Ruffly Ann. I'm excited by it. John from Huntsville said, the only thing Clinton was good at was being a bad president. I don't disagree. Clinton was the reason that I became a Republican. I voted for the first time in a presidential election for Clinton for the first, when he ran with his first, you know, he was on all the talk shows and playing the saxophone and, you know, he was so relatable and, you know, he and Hillary were out there, you know, and they're dancing to the song.
Oh, he was a great politician in terms of,
he was very relatable. He had, that word I despise called gravitas, but it's true. He had that.
He had charisma.
He did. He had charisma. He related to people. He wasn't inherently unlikable like Hillary, or, you know, any of our more recent people. You have to have a likability factor. You really do. So I don't disagree with it, but I do think that Clinton understood how to get things done, and he was willing to work with the Republicans to some extent to get it done. And for him, I think it was all about his legacy. So while I disagree, I don't like his politics. And when they flat out lied about Monica Lewinsky and then it came to light, I was done. And I walked away. The second time I did not vote for him. And I just decided, you know, if you can, you know, just stone face lie to people, forget it. But so I don't think he was a good president, but I think he
was a good politician. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But he was at least functional.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn from Bluntsville says there were times we had to take our own TP to work. Well, that's rough. Really? Your work's not even providing toilet paper. They took a truck that was the most broke down and cannibalized the parts. No money to buy replacement parts. They said it was a wonderful time for all. I don't know when that was, but that sounds really bad. You should never have to bring your own TP. I draw the line at that. So, yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to discuss a couple of things in the continuing resolution we didn't get to before that I thought were ridiculous and disturbing. One of it, and I don't know if you saw this, JP, but they're still funding research labs.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was 12 of them listed. And I'm sorry, but I no longer trust the U.S. to fund research labs. I just think we need to move on from research labs. We're a bit, you know, we were lied to and bat soup. And no, it can't be that right across from that wet market is a facility that actually tests coronavirus, but it got out because of something else. Yeah, sure. And, you know, now it's publicly come out that the most likely transmission was from the lab. And to me, I'm like, it's the only transition is from the lab. And I just think that labs, especially foreign-based labs, we need to rethink immediately. They're still doing gain-of-function research through third parties so that they can deny it. It's dangerous and it's foolish, and we need to rethink having anything to do with that, because I don't think anybody thinks that the coronavirus is the last time we'll see this, and the next time could be a whole lot worse. And this was bad, and it could be a lot worse, because if you think about it, it had a very low death rate overall, but, you know, a lot of people lost family members and then couldn't even be with them when they were buried. It's questionable. They couldn't hold their hand while they were super ill. They couldn't be at their funerals. It was one of the worst things our government has ever done. And I think it could only just be worse if you have something that's much more communicable and much higher death rate. I think they look at that and say, well, they did what we wanted to do then. They'll do it again. And they'll straighten up and do exactly what we tell them to. So I think we need to be very careful with any of labs. And I think they need to be much more open and much more monitored. There were labs in Ukraine, you know.
Yeah.
And that's disturbing. That's, what happened to them and what got out there?
Obviously, take what Putin says with a grain of salt. What's, you know, or I guess take this, you know, at whatever Putin saying that one of the reasons they invaded Ukraine was because of those biolabs. So, you know, whether that's true or not, or you believe him, that at least is, let's just say it is kind of known around that there's biolabs in Ukraine. Let me put it that way.
I think Putin says a lot of things that are politically expedient that may not be true, but maybe, you know, could be a something to get attention or a pain point. So maybe, but I think they knew that, of course they knew they were there, but we have, you know, we sent offshore. They used to do gain of function research in North Carolina, and it was Obama and them that sent it over to China because they didn't want the risk. But yet we were still funding it through a third party. I think it's very, it's dangerous and it's irresponsible. And I hope that Trump gets a hold of that. I hope he gets a handle on this, and I hope it's being watched very closely, because there are factions of our government that are doing things that are very dangerous.
Well, also, I pulled up an article here of some stuff that was in the CR bill. So the disaster funding, which for the hurricane victims, I think that's a good thing. I think they put that in there as
a sweetener,
mm-hmm. and also something to point the blame of, well, you don't want funding to go to hurricane victims, you know, because of all the other bad stuff in the bill. But there's also an RFK Stadium transfer of transferring the jurisdiction for the RFK Memorial Stadium, which is the Commander Stadium,
right,
to put it in the district, which will allow the city to negotiate the return of the Commanders football team, which is a kind of a weird thing to put in this bill.
It's to give the billionaires a nice little, you know, funding source to get, you know, new stadiums or whatever. I mean, NFL rakes in 20-something billion a year. They don't need extra funding from the American taxpayer. Sorry.
No, they don't.
Sorry.
Also, the Baltimore Bridge rebuilding, pay raise for members of Congress that we talked about, healthcare policy, extenders and reforms, transparency and ticket and hotel prices, and then addressing drone threats.
Yeah.
A lot of... I don't know. A lot of stuff I don't think is necessary right now to be thrown in that bill, but that's just me.
Oh, and there's a big CYA put in the bill that they could not be subpoenaed for their emails.
Yeah.
Members of Congress. What? Are you kidding me? No. We need more sunlight. This is like, hey, let's put up those blackout curtains.
Yeah.
Like my teenager has,
yeah,
so can sleep till noon. No, we need those blackout curtains so no sunlight gets in. Absolutely not. If your emails are subpoenaed, you need to, you know, otherwise, how in the world are we going to keep corruption at bay? That's insane.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for Elon, then this may have gotten passed.
I think that it would have, because you look at Mike Johnson's face when he had to kind of go and pull it back, you know, after this kind of blew up, and he's a politician's politician up there, and he is just as swampy as the rest of them. And I don't think they liked it at all. I think that the establishment Republicans, they want to get along and go along. They have no real interest in fighting for the common good for everybody. They fighting for the pork and fighting for getting things to their district so everyone can win. And, you know, North Alabama, we do get a fair amount of pork. I mean, we do. I'm not going to say we don't. But what I'm saying is it needs to be open and honest. And I don't think anybody wants that. And I think it's being forced on them, and they're going to fight kicking and screaming and with their fingernails dug in into, you know, more open discussions about funding. Because most people, I was watching a clip from Fox. They were talking about how there was going to be $1 million to monitor the monitors, not to monitor the product of like maple syrup or something production. I'm like, what the? It's like you could come up with the most ridiculous thing ever. I just want someone to pay me $1 million and I'll sit out and watch my chickens, and I'll watch everything they do all day long. Just give me $1 million, and then I'll report back on just the everyday life of a home flock. What do you think? I think that's more productive than the watching the watchers.
I think that's a good time, good investment of your time right there.
Yeah, doing that. Absolutely. They're fun to watch. It's peaceful. Why not? But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like they think to themselves, what's the dumbest thing I can come up with? And let's throw $1 million at it. It's pure redistribution. And if we don't stop this kind of waste, people think that the U.S. can't fail. We can. As a country, we can fail. We're huge. We're massive. If we start to go off a cliff, it's going to be really hard to stop it. And we cannot print money endlessly. There isn't, you know, there isn't endless paper to print money to keep, you know, and have it be worth the value that it is. We saw that with inflation. So I think we need to be very careful about these resolutions, and we need to keep on them, and we need to keep a close eye on it and have the citizens of this country make their voices heard. All right, we'll be right back on the other side, and we're going to switch some topics. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil. Just sitting here at the Right Side Radio studio, just having a good time with JP here. And I'm going to pivot now. We've talked this continuing resolution to death, and we've all determined that it's we're getting bamboozled, so we'll move on. I do want to get a couple of texts in, and Glenn from Bluntsville said it was when he was in the Air Force. It was during the Clinton administration. Poor Glenn had to bring his own TP. That's rough. That's not okay. It's not okay. I mean, because it's not like you can do without it. It's an essential. It's like saying bring your own running water. So then here is one from John from Huntsville. Lee, did you know if Fairbanks, Alaska, the sun shines 24 hours a day for 70 days from midday to mid-July, from mid-May to mid-July? Yeah, I knew they had the you know, sun never sets. And then I think in the wintertime, don't they have darkness most of the time? Yep.
It's depressing. I couldn't live there.
Well, I mean, then you really would need blackout curtains.
Yeah, that like they have to actually like invest in those up there. And so yeah. I would love to visit Alaska, and I'd like to live there.
I just want to see the bears catching the salmon, but I don't want to be close enough to get any attention from them. But I want to like be at one of those far places where you can view them, because it's just the coolest thing.
I love seeing bears in person. Well, I've been to Yellowstone twice, and I think I saw, the first time I was there, we saw like 6 bears, and we actually got up. I'm
from
not
far
even
away?
No, like right up next to the, like literally like 30 yards, and we were in our car. And we actually, there was one, we got out of the car, and I'm not even kidding, I was about 20 yards away from a moose, like a...
Those are they're more dangerous than the bears, I heard.
There was a guy, there was a worker there, like, yelling at people, like, to get back, but, yeah. All I have to say, I love seeing bears in person, they're really cool. And the cubs, too. I saw
you
some
just
want to
go and cuddle with them, and yeah. And then they'll rip you apart, but they're
well,
adorable.
Some bears won't. Right. You know, some bears are just like big dogs, really, but grizzly bears are not, or polar bears.
I'll tell you a very fast story. When I went for a company picnic once up in the Smokies for they wanted to have our, we usually had our company meeting in October, and they thought it'd be a good time to watch the leaves. They didn't realize early October in Tennessee is still green. Oops, no one asked. But so we went up there, and we had a company softball game with this giant picnic. So we had the picnic, and then we went over and we played softball. And while we were playing softball, a black bear who was actually brown, I don't know if you know this, but black bears come in black and brown. Mm-hmm. And it was good size. This was like a 400 pound bear. It was big. Ran across the outfield and scared everybody to death. But it was just going for our food. And it ran over to the pavilion and sat on the picnic table like a human being, like with its little furry butt and tail on the seat, picked up the pans, and just proceeded to dump the rest of the food into its mouth. It ate a whole thing of beans. Because, you know, nobody ate the beans.
Yeah.
It literally ate like one of those big giant silver trays of beans. It ate the rest of the, like, it just sat there. We had, because our purses were over there, and then coats and stuff, we couldn't go near there. So we all sat in our cars, and we called the park ranger, and he was like, yeah, you're just going to have to wait until he finishes up.
You have to let him finish.
He did. He finished all the food, including the rolls. Like, he literally ate everything, just dumping it, and then left the containers, and then moseyed on his way. So
black bears are like, those are the ones that are like big dogs, really. I like to pet a black bear. Not a brown or white bear, though.
I wasn't going over there, though, but he was big. And probably from getting picnics, because he probably could go and hibernate off of all he ate. Yeah, it was October. Maybe he was getting ready. So that was just a funny story. But I do think bears are cute, but from a distance. So that's my thought. And so John from Madison said, my niece lives in Alaska. She has a family of moose that visit her yard all the time. You know, I think they're amazing looking, but they're huge.
Moose will kill you.
Like, oh, they will.
Like, if they get angry, they will, like, run you over.
I heard a male moose during mating season, it's just like, they'll kill you in a heartbeat. So I'm like, no thanks.
They're ginormous.
I thought deer were bad. Moose sound much worse.
Oh, moose will. Yeah, I don't mess with moose.
Just rip you up. No thanks. All right, guys. I need some texts from you guys coming in, because I'm about to talk about tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are. What was the it Christmas gift that you either got or that you never received and were sad about growing up in your kid, you know, your early childhood or teens? Let's talk about that when we come back. And we're back. Love that song. I'd like to let it play all the way through. It's one of my favorites. Somebody told me once it's the state anthem and you just kind of stop and put your hand over your heart when it starts playing. And I appreciate some of y'all have already let me know your favorite toys that you did or you didn't get. It's starting to pour in. I'd love some phone calls too. I will start this off with a story. When I was, gosh, maybe 9 or 10, this product came out and it was a Barbie head. It was like Barbie's head and hair and maybe the very top of her shoulders on a base. And you could do the hair and put the makeup on. And I asked for that and over and over and over one Christmas. And I thought for sure I was going to get it, but I didn't. Toys are a lot more expensive than JP. I know you don't know this because you're like my kid's age, but toys were, as far as a percentage of what you made, were a lot more expensive. It's when everything offshore to China that got, you know, stayed cheap. So things haven't increased in price in 25, 30 years in some ways, you know, or even gotten cheaper. But back then it was, you know, my mom just said, well, you know, we only had money for a certain amount of stuff and sorry you didn't get that. And I was kind of disappointed, but I went about the rest of my morning. Well, we always met for dinner at my grandmother's house. And I had a lot of cousins, you know, like 10 cousins and mostly girls, not a lot of boys. And my cousin, who shall remain nameless, she knows who she is. She got the Barbie head. And I burned with a passion of hatred that she got it and I didn't. And I was so angry about that. And she lorded it over me all Christmas dinner and wanted to show me, look how I can do her hair. And look at this. She just knew it was just making me hotter and hotter. I was so mad about it. And I just really contemplated getting the scissors from my grandma's sewing box and cutting off all the hair. But then I thought, well, I'm going to get in trouble if I do that. And what's funny is she told me later, she had no idea how upset I was about that. And my kids actually bought me, you know, the Hallmark ornaments you can get in the Hallmark store. One of them was the Barbie head. And one year they surprised me with that. And they were like, well, you finally have it. And I thought, well, it's sweet. It's an ornament. What it reminds me of is to be grateful because I did get nice Christmas gifts. And my parents, honestly, for a percentage of what they make, spent a lot more on us at Christmas time and did without for themselves than we do now. Mm-hmm. So it taught me to be appreciative of every gift. But there's, you know, there's some, I'll tell you my favorite gift I ever received. So remember when, you don't remember this, I'm going to tell this to the public. Remember when Atari came out, folks? Remember how big a deal that was? And it was the new thing and it was the 80s and maybe even 1980. It was a big deal and everybody was getting Ataris, but a competitor named Intellivision had a bigger and better product, so they thought. They thought they were going to revolutionize it. Well, I had an uncle who was an attorney and no kids. So he sent us a surprise Christmas gift of an Intellivision. And we were like the toast of the neighborhood. Kids would come over because nobody had an Intellivision. Plus, he lived up north. He bought it up there somewhere. There just weren't that many. And it was just better than the Pong or whatever. You know, it just had some more detailed games and it was interesting. And we played that Intellivision till we wore it out. It didn't end up catching on, though. That wasn't, you know, it was more Atari won that battle somehow. I'm sure there's a story behind that. But I mean, we just thought we were the coolest thing since sliced bread with that Intellivision. What is your best gift?
Oh, man, I've gotten a lot of cool gifts. I think the most recent coolest gift I've gotten was, so I was in college for 1 year, freshman year, and I went to Alabama, and all my roommates in my dorm had an electric longboard, all but one.
An electric what?
An electric longboard, like a skateboard, but longboard, yeah. So, and they would go to class on it, but one of my roommates, is one of my best friends. We had like a bunch of classes together, and he would always sleep in till like 10 minutes before the class because he could just get on his longboard. He'll be there in like 2 minutes, and it would piss me off because I would walk to class. I would get up early and walk to the same class, and you know, it's cold and I'm having to walk. And as I'm walking in, he's comes zooming in on his longboard, you know. So I asked my parents for one, and they ended up getting me one. And it was such a cool gift. I love that longboard. I rode that longboard so much in college, but I think I wrecked it one time. Though out of like the 6 months that I was using it at college, I wrecked it one time, and it was the day after I got it, and I still have a scar on my hand of when I fell and ate it on the curb and bleeding down my arm. But yeah, that was probably the most recent cool gift I got, was that electric longboard. But also when I was like, what, 8 or so, my parents got me this like one of those little Mustang cars that you can ride in and drive around.
Yeah.
And I rode that thing to death. And we had a cop just down the road that lived in our neighborhood. And the day of Christmas when I was riding it around, my sister got the same one, but of a pink Jeep. Uh-huh. And we were riding in our little cul-de-sac, and the cop came, turned his lights on, and pulled me over for speeding.
Oh, that's the coolest.
When I was like 8. Yeah, so that was probably my first cool gift that I was really stoked about. And
I love he pulled you over. That's awesome.
And I always wanted a Mustang when I got older. Whenever I had that, I was like, I'm gonna get a real one of these.
But yeah, but now get insurance, JP. That's your next goal, because yeah, you're way too, you can't afford the insurance for the Mustang.
No. I cannot.
We have these things called bicycles. Could you not have ridden a bike?
I rode a well, that's not as cool, but listen, the electric lawnboard got up to 25 miles an hour.
Wait, did it have a handle? Like, was it like a scooter?
I had a little remote. No. So it's a skateboard, but it has a little remote control where like a little, like a slider that you can, if you push down, it goes faster. You pull back, it brakes.
Oh, I don't see any problem with an electric skateboard going 25 miles an hour. That just sounds like brain damage waiting to happen.
We were flying down the roads in Tuscaloosa 25 miles an hour. And I would get up and be like, if I ate it on the way to class, I would be done for. Like that.
And
would,
the people drive there horribly.
Oh, yeah.
So you could easily, you roll out in front of somebody, you're done, you're toast. Well, okay, so I've had some people send in. Hugh from New Hope said he got the original Millennial Falcon and the Millennium Falcon and the action figures. I'm going to guess, Hugh, that you are a Gen X like myself. I remember when those came out, and so I found it interesting that Spielberg got the rights to the merch.
Oh, really?
Yes. He negotiated that because they didn't think Star Wars was going to be a success. What fools. And they let him have the rights to the merch. Do you know?
That's a lot of money out the window. How much
money? Have you ever tried to buy the Millennium Falcon Lego set?
No.
My God.
I have to admit something.
What?
I've only seen one Star Wars movie.
And which one was that?
I don't know. Actually, whichever one came out in 2015,
no,
2016.
No, negative.
The only reason I went with that one is because my middle school girlfriend wanted to go to there. So I went with her.
That's
there.
After Disney wrecked it, right?
Yeah, that was a bad one. Apparently, it was like some people were saying it's the worst one ever. That's the only one I've ever seen.
I think they keep topping themselves with the worst one ever, honestly. Yeah. No, the first three. Watch those.
I've never seen them. And it's almost become like a, whenever I tell people that, it makes them angry. So I just kind of like,
well, I mean,
kept it going. And
you're young. Here's your mission if you choose to accept it. Go watch the first three and then tell me the rest. Even the stuff with the revisit with like Hayden, what's his name? And I can't remember the actress name from Black Swan. She was on there. She played their mother. And it was like a prequel.
Mm.
Bad. His acting. What's his name? Hayden something?
I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah. Those were... I was not excited about it once I saw the first one, and there hasn't been a good one since, if you ask me. But you know, if you have the original action figures, you're born in probably in the 70s or late 60s. And those were things to get. But I can just say that Steven Spielberg has gotten extraordinarily wealthy off of all of us. Let's see. Glenn from Bluntsville says, I never got the Rock'em Sock'em robots. You know, my brother got that and the Hungry Hungry Hippos. And I was,
yes,
I'm 6 years older. So I'm, you know, I was always bigger until after I'd gone to college. And I used to beat him and he would cry. And I'd beat him at the Rock'em Sock'em robots and the you remember Hungry Hungry Hippos?
Oh, yeah. I had Hungry Hungry Hippos. Yeah. They were awesome.
But I'm sorry, Glenn, that you never got it. They may still be out there. You can take a look. You can find all kinds of old stuff on eBay.
All these people are texting in their consoles. Mine was the Xbox 360. That was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm only 21, so like that's not horribly long ago, but yeah, that I was an Xbox kid until MLB started making their games on PlayStation. Then I went over and I haven't gone back since. Been a PlayStation guy ever since. But yeah, I still have that Xbox 360 still works.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what games are on what, and I am glad I don't. I know my kids have them. I couldn't even tell. I think they have Xbox. I don't know.
That Xbox 360.
I think PlayStation is what they have. Yeah. But computer games, you know? The PC. A lot of them they play on a PC. Mm-hmm. So
my Xbox 360 is 13 years old, and it still runs like a dream.
Nice.
When it dies, I'll probably cry.
Well, let's see. And Glenn, I'm guessing you're probably also Gen X. Jeff from Indiana. I know, Jeff, you're probably... maybe late 50s, I can't remember. So you're probably in my generation too. And Jeff said, Lee, I got a voyage to the bottom of the sea submarine and Major Matt Mason space crawler under the Silver Tree. Ah, the Silver Tree. I had an aunt and uncle that had the Silver Tree. It looked like pipe cleaners. So, but yeah, I liked the voyage to the bottom of the sea. That was an interesting, it was a movie, right? In a book. Oh, no, I'm thinking 20,000 Leagues. But yes, all good ones. John from Huntsville says, I always wanted my own real-life pet baby lion, but for some reason I never got one. I love baby lions. I also wanted a real-life pet baby penguin, but for some reason I never got one of those either.
I wonder why.
Wow, John, I feel the sarcasm dripping off that text. But I can't guess there your age, so you're going to have
John,
to tell
he said it before. He's like 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those millennials, they're snarky. Well, you know, but I don't think it's the same thing as the Barbie head, is it? I don't have to feed and take care of that. Lions do. I mean, in Texas, you can have your own baby lion. Baby penguin would be a little harder because they need the cold.
That one's, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be tough unless you lived in Alaska. Dave from Madison, my wife grew up poor in West Virginia, and she said the family shared a coconut, and each kid got an orange, and they were happy. Dang, Dave. That puts us to shame. Now, I remember asking my mother, she's a boomer, and asking her what they got for Christmas, because I know, you know, her grandparents were sharecroppers. They, you know, they did own their shack, but it was like, you know, they were very poor. And she mentioned a lot that they would get food. Like oranges were unusual in the wintertime. They would get those. They'd get maybe a little bit of candy, but it was certainly nothing like what it is now. We're so much more, you know, centered on gifts and giving and all that. For them, it was more just spending time having dinner with relatives and maybe some little gifts. Let's see. Jeremy from Madison says, 1986, I got the original Nintendo. I do remember that in high school playing the Duck Hunt in the original. And what was the Mike Tyson Punch Out?
Yeah.
Remember Glassjaw and playing up that you could, I could beat Mike Tyson at one point. I got to good enough.
We had an original Nintendo when I was a kid that my mom had from high school that still worked. It was awesome.
Duck Hunt was fun, but I was never very good at it.
I played Mario on that thing a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the beginning of Mario, right?
Mm-hmm. We had to save Princess Peach from Bowser.
Absolutely. And then Zelda. Remember that? I loved the music. But yeah, Princess Peach. I'd forgotten about that. Let's see. Devin from Brownsboro. Game Boy Color with the Pokemon game. That sounds like a millennial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So. Was that a big deal? Game Boy Color? Is that Game Boy's a handheld, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm not a millennial, so I can't speak to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know anything about the Game Boy. My bad.
No, I do not.
Let's see. TL from Huntsville. Remember Atari Pong? Yes, I do. And that's why I had my friends all come over, because the Intellivision was much better than the Atari Pong. So, all right. We will we'll jump into some more text on the other side and talk more about that Christmas gift you loved or missed out on. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams while he's doing some fun things for the holidays. I'm always solid conservative and just plain right, so I fit right in here at the Right Side Studios. I'm going to jump back into text. We were talking about our favorite Christmas gifts we ever received, or that one Christmas gift we didn't get. Mike from ARA. Oh, go ahead.
By the way, I just want to say before we get to text, you know what I want for Christmas this year?
What?
I want 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's what I want.
Oh, come on,
and
guys.
And we're at 992 right now. Can you imagine if we got to 1,000 before the end of the show? And
we
got to
make this happen.
We got to surprise Phil when he comes in here tomorrow to be 1,000 subscribers. So if y'all haven't already, please go subscribe. We greatly appreciate it.
That would be so awesome. All right. Mike from ARAB said he finally got a waterbed. Mike, you were a Gen Xer. Let me tell you, I loved waterbeds. My mother would never go for it. We had kind of long carpet. It was sort of in between shag and regular. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, the waterbed will get a hole and leak. She would never go for it. And I wanted it so bad.
I used to want one too.
You did? Were there still, are there still waterbeds?
Well, when I was a kid, there was. I thought they were cool. I think I saw it on a TV show, like one of the Disney shows. Somebody had a waterbed. And I wanted one. But yeah, no, it didn't happen.
No, my mom's like, no, you have stuff on the bed, you'll sit on it and poke a hole in it. I mean, she's probably right. I'm sure I would have. And my bedroom was above the den.
Yeah, no,
mom was like, yeah, I don't think so. Let's see. Ryan from Hazel Green said he was born in 88. For me, it was the Nintendo 64. And yes, my dad made sure I got one. Well, you had a great dad, Ryan. That's awesome. Roughly Ann says easy bake oven. You know, that was on my list of some of my favorite things, was an easy bake oven. And I genuinely made a fair amount of stuff in that little light bulb functioning oven.
I can't remember if I had one or my sister had one. Yeah, it was great.
We used to make like a little cake.
Yeah, the little like muffin.
Yeah, a little muffin tin thing. It actually amazing what a light bulb will cook, isn't it? But I loved it, and you know, now I love to cook. But you know, it's a good way to jump in. Joe from Indiana says before the Atari console was the Pong console. Oh, so was that a different thing? So it played it for hours. I thought Pong was on Atari. I don't know.
Can I just make an announcement real quick?
Did we get it?
We got 1,000 subscribers. Woo-hoo! On YouTube. Without Phil here to experience it, we just got 1,000 subscribers.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Christmas has come early.
Phil, Santa came down the chimney and left you 1,000 subscribers. Woohoo!
That's awesome. The ruffians are great.
Yep. And I consider myself one of them. And we are a good bunch. I'm so excited, guys. Jeremy from Madison. Mario is originally introduced in the game Donkey Kong. Yeah, that's true. He was one of the characters. Well, he was the one who was jumping the barrels, right?
Yeah, he is.
I used to love and sit. Like, we would go and sit at this pizza place in South Huntsville, and we would sit and play it. Like, you could even eat on it. It was like thick glass over the top of it, and we would play Donkey Kong just for hours. That and Miss Pac-Man are still my favorite.
Donkey Kong was great.
Yeah, it was really good. Let's see. Dustin from Hazel Green said... he said Stretch Armstrong. And yes, Dustin, that is very true. But I will tell you this. You know how everybody says that that Stretch Armstrong would, you could stretch him as far as you could? Mm-mm. My neighborhood, we found the limit. There was a limit before his arms and legs tore, and we found it. But hey. Mike from Florence said one of the best gifts I did get was a Gumby figurine, the rubber kind with the wire and the arms, legs, and body. You know, I had one of those too. And I loved Gumby and Pokey. Do you even know what we're talking about?
I know who Gumby is.
Oh, yeah. You do? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just one of those things. It's just a generational thing, but I loved Gumby and Pokey. So I definitely get it. That was a cool figurine. Let's see. Red from Tony says a PlayStation 2. Yes. Anybody younger than Gen X, I think it's always going to be some sort of gaming thing. And Jeff from Indiana. Liam, 62 years old. Oh, wait. Hold on. Yeah, 62 years old with a mind of a 15-year-old and the body of a 90-year-old. Ah, Jeff. Mind of a 15-year-old, though. I think sometimes I do, too. Just, you know, you feel like you never truly grow up, and I love it. Okay, John's got the grades now. Emily Jones, Phil, and Butters all get an A+ for their equally awesome performance. Let's see. JP, the king of Gen Z, gets an A++ for spectacular performance, which means today winner is obviously Lee from Huntsville with the perfect A++. Thank you so much. And y'all, everyone remember the best gift ever given to humanity, God gave us in his son, Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for listening.